I just want to pray. That's just, wow. The Lord has been so good this past week. And He's good all the time. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we lift up to You these songs of worship. Lord, I trust and pray that as they come forth from our hearts and from our mouths, that it's like a sweet smelling savor before You. That You're delighted in Your people. You're delighted to hear us today to sing to You. And Father, we're so thankful that we can wait upon You. When we are in time of need, when we are in tribulations, when we are needing answers, when we're needing direction, that we can wait upon You. We can rely upon Your Word because You are good. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the truth that You are the one who holds us fast. You hold us in Your hands. You're the sustainer of Your people. You're the keeper of Your saints. Lord, if it were not for that truth, we would all fail. We would all fall. We would all be lost again. We're thankful that You love us so much that You hold us and You keep us. And Lord, we rejoice that as we are needy people, that we can learn how sweet it is to trust in You. As we walk with You through this life, oh, how sweet it is to trust in You. How sweet to see You answer prayer and to see You come through with Your promises, to see Your presence with us, and to see even in times when we're waiting for an answer that You still give us the peace and assurance that all is well. That we can sing, "It is well with my soul." What a special, special song that is. It's actually a song of lament. As Spafford, he lost his children and lost many other things in his life and went through some great tragedies, and yet he was able to pour out his heart to You and say, "It is well with my soul." And Lord, it's only possible because my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross. You took care of our death. You took care of our sin. And Lord, we have that blessed hope. You're coming again for us. What a day that's going to be when the clouds are rolled back as a scroll. And You're going to descend with a shout. And we're going to be taken up to be with You. Knowing that blessed truth, we can say it as well with my soul. And I pray, Lord, this morning there may be someone here that does not know Christ as their Savior, does not even understand the truths that we just sang about. I pray Your Holy Spirit would take the blinders off of their eyes to help them to see spiritual truth today. Help them to see the love of Jesus for them. Help them to see their need of Christ, their need to come to Him for salvation. Lord, please, we're asking for Your blessing now upon Your Word as it goes forth, that it would accomplish everything that You desire to do, that You would prosper Your Word today. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen. Let's go back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We're going to be taking a break from Acts for a few weeks. And the next couple of weeks we'll be focusing on the crucifixion, resurrection, getting ready for Resurrection Sunday. But the other night, as I was just laying in bed, just talking to the Lord and restless, the Lord put a phrase upon my heart to wait on the Lord. He just put it in my mind, and I knew that He spoke to me, and I was able to just relax and go to sleep. After that, I got up the next morning and knew that's what the Lord wanted me to study and what He wanted me to preach today, and because I needed this, and I've been studying this and learning this and growing in this area, and I want to share it with you this morning, and that is the subject of waiting on God. Waiting on the Lord. How many of you like to wait? I bet if we were honest, there wouldn't be one hand that would go up. No one likes to wait. I mean, we go to the grocery store, we don't like to wait in line. We go to Walmart. I don't think Melinda, is Melinda in here? No, she is. She was talking about going to Walmart. I'm not telling on you, but, you know, talking about the crowd, having to wait to check out. We don't like that. We go to the post office, there's a line, we don't like it. We don't like sitting at the light and wait and wait and wait, especially when the light's green and the person in front of you is not moving. We don't like to wait. You know, some people, they're like the guy who prayed, "Lord, give me patience, and I want it right now." We don't like to be on our phone or on the computer or streaming a program on TV and the Wi-Fi don't work. We don't like to wait till it comes back online. But I want to just say something this morning. Life, most of life is about waiting. If you just stop and think about it, most of life is about waiting. And sadly, we'd rather do anything other than wait. Some people would rather do the wrong thing than wait. Seriously. Especially when it comes to waiting on God. It may be a single person here and you're waiting for the right person to come into your life and you're getting tired of it. And there's a relationship that you can have with the person, but you know it's not God-honoring, and you're tempted to just jump into that relationship instead of waiting on God. That's just an example. There's a lot of things, you know, that maybe we might want or need, and we don't have the means yet, so we go and charge it, or we go and get a loan. Or we don't wait on God for clear direction. We don't wait on the, we don't like to wait. But you know, you think about life, it's about waiting. I mean, waiting for that appointment at the doctor, waiting to graduate, waiting for the right time to start a family, waiting for your loved ones to come to Christ, waiting for your loved one who has gone astray to come back to the Lord. Waiting to have your prayers answered. Waiting for God to give you clear direction on the next step. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Life is about waiting. And here in Psalm 37 that we read just the first seven verses, in this Psalm of David, it's a wisdom Psalm. There are three references to waiting on the Lord in this psalm. And I want to just point out that there's 21 in the whole book of Psalms. 21 references to waiting on the Lord. Three of them are found in this Psalm 37. You'll see it in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That's the first reference to waiting. You'll see it also in verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He will or shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I think it's not the main key thing, but it's one of the big themes of this psalm that we're going to focus on. You know, David, he was struggling with evildoers. He was seeing how evildoers were prospering and how the righteous was suffering at the hands of these evildoers. And David was having to wait on God to deliver, wait on God to deal with these evildoers. And so this psalm deals with that as probably the main thing, but it's about waiting. David's waiting and God's assuring him and giving him some wisdom on how to wait on God. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, is how to wait on God. You know, just David, for example, I want to just point out that he was a man who chose to live according to the Lord's plan and schedule. The Lord's timing, His schedule. You know, David was anointed at the age of, he was around the age of 16. But did you know that he did not actually become king for 14 years later? During that 14 years of waiting, most of it was spent in hiding, in exile, running from a man who wanted to kill him. Waiting patiently. This man knows about waiting. I'm trying to tell you that. You know, I could go through the Bible from beginning to end. It's all about waiting. I mean, you think about Israel. They were 400 years in Egypt waiting to become a nation, waiting for Moses. Moses had to wait 40 years to deliver him out of Egypt. The Israelites were in the wilderness 40 years waiting so they could go into the promised land. And we could go Joseph waiting. We could go all through the Bible and see people having to wait, wait, wait on the Lord. Sometimes there was a long waiting. Even at the end of the Bible, Jesus said, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. He spoke that over 2,000 years ago. God's people, since then, we've been waiting, 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 waiting for Jesus to come. You know, David had to wait patiently. And this psalm is about, instead of us becoming impatient, nervous, frustrated, anxious, God wants us to wait on Him trustingly, delightfully, expectantly, patiently. God has a will for our lives and a purpose for our life, and it involves timing. There's a timing for everything. There's a time, as Solomon said, under the heaven for every season. There's a time. There's a timing for things. God has an awesome plan mapped out for each one of us, but I want to say that He reveals it one step at a time. One step at a time. And many times we get frustrated, we get impatient, we want to run ahead of God. And when we do that, listen, it doesn't end well. But when we follow His plan, He is glorified and we are fulfilled. Before we dive into the text, I want to ask the question that everybody's asking. I'm pretty sure it's in your mind as we talk about waiting on the Lord. And that is this question: why does God make us wait? Have you ever felt that? Have you ever been waiting on God? You've been praying and asking and He's not answering? Or He's delaying? Have you ever wondered why? Why God is causing me to wait? Why does God say over and over in the Scripture, wait on the Lord? You know, as I shared with you just the other night, the Lord put this topic in my mind, and then the next day, Miss Corey, she did the prayer meeting this morning, or the meditation for it, and she chose Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. And it's so close to what the message is about that I just like, wow. And then my wife came up to the church last night to print out the bulletins, and I had already told her what God had put on my heart to preach. She came up here, and the bulletin that was next to be printed was this one that you received that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I just like, wow, God, look what you're doing. You're confirming over and over what you want us to look at this morning. But why? Why is it that God tells us that? Why is it that God wants you to wait? I mean, isn't He Almighty God? Cannot God do anything? Is anything impossible to the Lord? Of course not. I mean, He can do anything. So why not just give us what we need now? Why not answer now? If He's Almighty. Well, I want to share with you a very important truth that I'm learning in the season of waiting. And we're going to put it up on screen. It is this. What God does in us while we wait is as important as what it is we're waiting for. I'm going to say that again, because this is just an eye-opening truth that I've been learning. I've had several people ask me over the last month about, Mom, are you going to put in the nursing room? What's your next step? And my answer has been, we're waiting on God. There's many of you heard me say that. You know, I'm waiting on God. Because, you know, most people just instantly, well, we got to do this, and we got to do this, we got to do this, and never give thought to God. But I've been like, we're waiting. I want God to lead. I want God to direct our every step. I want it to be God's timing. I want it to be God's will. And, you know, I've even prayed, Lord, just take my mom to be with you. Because, and I say that because many of you know she suffers dementia, and it's hard, and she's pretty much run her course. There's not a lot she can do at this point. But then the Lord just told me, well, maybe it's not about her finishing her course, but maybe it's about me waiting in the work He wants to do in me. And so this truth right here, what God wants to do in us while we wait, is as important as what we're waiting for. You see, we're focusing on what we're waiting for, that answer to prayer. We're focusing on God coming through for us. We're focused on that, but God is focused on the waiting process, the period between now and then, because He's working in us. He has a work to do in us, and you know, we think the Lord's plan for our lives is on the other side of that waiting, but in the eyes of God, the process of waiting is an essential part of the purpose that He has. You know, the Scripture teaches us that while we're waiting on God to set things right, while David here is waiting on God, we go through tribulation. We go through testing. We go through trials. In Romans 5, 3 and 4, Paul tells us, and knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience, experience, and experience, hope. These are some of the qualities that God works in us while we're waiting. He's working in us. You see, what this means is waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. I want you to get this. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. Waiting is part of the process of what God wants us to become. What He wants us to be. You know, God wants to use the waiting time to form us, to mold us, to produce Christ-likeness, patience, experience. Experience here is talking about proof or test, or passing the test after trial and growing your character. That's what it means. And hope. He wants to work these things in our life. He wants to produce these qualities in us. But let me tell you something very, very important about this. That's what God desires, and that's what God is, His purpose in waiting. Why do we ask the question, why does God make us wait? This is why. He has a work to do in us. There's a process in that waiting that He's wanting to conform us to the image of Jesus. But here's the key, though. Here's the key. Don't miss this important key. For us to benefit from our times of waiting, we must learn to respond correctly. We must learn to respond correctly. Key words, respond correctly. In this waiting time, how do you respond when God is putting you in a waiting time? When you're in the waiting room of life, Waiting. How many of you have been in the doctor's office for more than an hour waiting? Some of you are in the waiting room of life waiting on Dr. Jesus to come and fix your problem. How do you respond when you're in that waiting room? Impatient? Nervous, frustrated, miserable, mad. You see, when we respond like that in the waiting room of life, listen, we're gonna have to wait longer, I promise. God's gonna say, okay, I'm just gonna wait a little longer then. Because this waiting is about a process. It's about God working in us. It's about us. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. And from this passage, the proper response when we're in this waiting. We're going to look at some biblical exhortations here. There's four of them we're going to look at. Four biblical exhortations for us of how we should respond when we're waiting. How to wait on God. The first one is this. We should wait trustingly. Verses 1 through 3. I want to read these verses again. David begins, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." You know what he's saying here? He's saying that instead of us fretting, worrying, envying, getting all worked up, getting angry, getting mad, we should trust in the Lord and do good. That's how we should respond. As we're waiting on God, now David's waiting here concerning evildoers, but our waiting may be over something else. It still applies. Don't fret about it. Don't get mad about it. Don't get worked up over it. Be still. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. Trust. We sang about this, so sweet, to trust in Jesus. Trust in the Lord and do good. Let me share something with you. Biblical waiting is an active trusting in God. It's an active trusting. I emphasize active. Biblical waiting is an active trusting in God. Waiting on God doesn't mean we just stop all activity and do nothing. That's what some people think of. Well, I'm just not going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit and wait. That's not what this biblical waiting is about. Because notice he said, trust in the Lord and what? Do good. Do is an action word, isn't it? It's active. Actively trusting God. While we're waiting on God to bring about a change in our life, or we're waiting on God to give us an answer that we need, or give us some direction, we must be actively obeying Him. But what we do know that He wants us to do. Walking with Him, trusting Him, waiting, believing, hoping in His Word. As we're waiting for next step with Mom, I mean, I'm actively doing what I need to be doing. Take care of Mom. Take care of some of her business. Spend time with her, love her, minister to her. Enjoy the moment while I'm waiting. That's what I'm doing. Trust in the Lord and do good. Actively be waiting while you're trusting God. You know, we sang a song, I will wait for you. I will wait for you. On your word, I will rely. I will wait for you, surely wait for you, till my soul is satisfied. That song is based on Psalm 130. And Psalm 135 says this, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. What does that speak to you about? Trust. We're putting our hope in Him. We're putting our trust in Him as we're waiting on Him. We're relying on His Word. You know, waiting on the Lord is this continual daily decision to say, God, I will trust You and I will obey You, even though the circumstances of my life are not turning out the way I want them to. And they may never turn out the way I want them to. I am Your plan and there is no plan B. That's waiting on God. That's trusting God. That's just submitting to God and saying, God, it may not turn out the way I want to, but I'm trusting You because I'm Your plan. His plan is me working, changing me. To be conformed to Him. So we should wait trustingly. Second, we should wait delightfully. Look in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, most of the time when we read this, we don't really focus on the first part. We focus on the second part, the desires that we, you know, the desires of our heart. We think, okay, God. We're so set and focused on our desires. But I want you to realize that the verb, the imperative verb, is delight. Just like in verse 1, the imperative verb is fret. In verse 3, the imperative verb is trust. In verse 5, the imperative verb is commit. In verse 7, the imperative verb is rest. So when we're looking at this verse 4, the imperative is not the desires of your heart. The imperative is delight yourself in the Lord. So let me just say this. Instead of fretting, worrying, envying, getting all worked up, you should be delighting yourself in the Lord. That's the proper response. While you're in the waiting for God to do something, or waiting for God to answer something, waiting for God to give you peace about something, whatever it is you're waiting for, in that waiting room of life, you need to delight yourself in the Lord. I want you to recall what we've already said. What God does in us while we wait is as important as what it is we're waiting for. So I say that to say this, that one of God's purposes for us to wait on Him is to cause us to greatly delight in Him. That's one of His purposes. But if you're responding wrongly, you're thinking, well, God's not getting that accomplished. I'm getting madder and madder as the days go. Well, you're just going to wait the longer as the days go. Listen, we should have a trusting heart. That's the first thing we talked about. We should trust God for who He is, and He's good and He's wise and He knows the best for our lives, and He hears our prayers. Don't let the devil tell you that God don't hear your prayer or God don't care for you, because He does. If you're a child of God and you're saved, He loves you, He cares for you, and He hears the cries of the righteous. But we have to understand that in God's will, it also includes His timing. And so we have to trust God's timing. We have to wait until God has something He's accomplishing while we're waiting. And one of those purposes is He wants us to get to the place where we're delighting in Him. The word delight, according to Webster's dictionary, is a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind. Joy. God wants you to get to the place where you have such a high degree of pleasure in Him that you just love spending time with Him. You just love going to Him and talking to Him, and you're trusting Him, and as you're waiting and praying, you're delighting in Him. You're not mad at Him, you're not angry, you're just like, Lord, I know that I don't understand everything, but I know that You love me, and I'm thankful for the relationship that we have. And I'm telling you, that the wisest thing, let me say this, the wisest thing you and I can do is to start every day waiting on God. Delightfully seeking, praying, trusting. You know, I've had to spend a good portion of every week last month at my mom's house staying with her. And they have a sunroom, and it's full of plants. And I'm telling you, it's a special place now, because I'll get up early and my mom's sleeping, and I will go out in that sunroom. I'll open the blinds and wait for the sun to come up, and I'll just spend time with the Lord praying and reading His Word. And I'm telling you, it's a special time, and every day I start that way, and it's what gets me through the day. It's what gives me hope. It's what gives me strength. It's what gives me the ability to minister to my mom, even when it's hard at times. Sometimes when she's struggling with confusion and questions and over, and it's what helps me to be the son I need to be. To start the day delighting in the Lord. I want to put this one up for you. The one we wait for will be worth the wait. The one we wait for will be worth the wait. See, sometimes we're so focused on the thing. We're so focused on that thing that we're waiting for. We're so focused on that answer that we're waiting for. We're so focused on that victory. We're so focused on God to do something that we miss the one that we should be delighting in. The one that's worth the wait is Jesus. While you're waiting, focus on, delight yourself in Jesus. It'll make the waiting much better. It's kind of like, let me give you an example. This is a poor example, but it's the best I can come up with in the moment. You're at the doctor's office, and it's been a busy day for the doctor's office. Everybody in town's sick, and you're waiting. But there's someone sitting next to you, and you start a conversation. And you start talking to them. And you find out you have things in common. You find out that maybe that person's a Christian, or maybe they're going through a struggle that you've been going through, and you were able to minister to them. And you're spending time with that person. Next thing you know, they call your name. You may have been there for an hour, 2 hours, but you've been delighting in this conversation with this person that the time just flew by. There are times that Brother Justin and I, we talked after church, and next thing we know, it's 2 a.m. Now, it's been a while. I'm thankful, but there's been some times we're just delighting ourselves in conversation and talking about the Lord together, or maybe Brother Tim, Brother Curtis. I mean, we'll talk and after church, and it'll just go on and on. What I'm saying is, the one we wait for be worth the wait. It makes the wait worthwhile, I guess I can say. As we seek His faith, pour out our hearts in prayer, hope in His Word, wait trustingly in Him, our hearts begin to draw nearer and nearer to Him. And in this time of need and waiting, just the comfort of His presence and the comfort of His Word. I went off. There it is. Psalm 94:19 says this: "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, Thy comforts delight my soul." Psalm 94:19, if you didn't get that. Psalm 94:19. "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, Thy comforts delight my soul." See, when you start the day delighting in the Lord, you're going to get some of these comforting thoughts from the Lord, and it's going to delight your soul. So what we wait for is not more important than what happens to us while we're waiting. What we wait for is not more important than what happens to us while we're waiting. Man, I'm telling you right now, if we could get that as our perspective, it would change how you wait. It would change how you wait. Change how you pray. Let's go to the third one. We should wait expectantly. We should wait expectantly. Verses 5 and 6, he says here, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." So instead of fretting, worrying, envying, getting all worked up, we should commit our way to the Lord. Expectantly. While we're waiting, commit it to the Lord. Just wait expectantly for God to answer, for God to intervene in His own time. The ideal behind commit thy way is to roll that heavy burden from off of our shoulders onto the Lord. That's the idea of rolling that burden to Him. A burden that we don't have the strength to bear. Commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Whatever it is that's troubling you, commit it to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You know, in this promise, in these verses, if we commit our way to the Lord, that's the imperative verb, there's a promise here. He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So when we commit something to the Lord, let's be expectant that God's going to answer in His own way, in His own time. And He's going to answer in a way that's for our good, for His glory. But let's be expectant. Let's not be hopeless. Let's not give up waiting. Let's not give up trusting. Let's not give up delighting in the Lord. Let's be expectant. Let's be hopeful that God's going to get us through whatever it is we're going through. The last one, 4, we should wait patiently. We should wait patiently. Verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So instead of fretting and worrying and envying, getting all worked up, we should rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. This word rest, you know what it means? To be silent, to be still before the Lord. It's speaking of a silent waiting, a patient waiting. What it's speaking of is leaving the whole matter with him. Trusting, waiting patiently. I've committed it to the Lord. I'm delighting in him. I'm trusting him. I've committed it to him. I'm waiting expectantly for him. So I'm just going to be patient and wait. I'm going to be still, be silent. I'm going to patiently wait. What's interesting is, you know, we were talking about be still this morning in our prayer meeting, and in the Hebrew, the way it's used in a lot of verses in the Old Testament is it has this idea of the hand letting go of something. It has the idea of surrender. You know, in sign language, I was sharing this morning that sign language is like when your hands are closed, that means you're holding something, right? But when you do this, that's surrender. That's a sign for surrender. Surrender to the Lord. It's a letting go. That's what it means to be still. It means to let go. Stop trying to control things. You know why we don't like to wait? Because we feel out of control. Let go. Surrender. Give the situation to God. I was reading a story about these acrobats that are in circuses. And I don't know if you've ever been to a circus. It's been since I was a kid since I've been. But you know the ones that are swinging on the ropes, trapeze? They're swinging. You have a flyer and a catcher. The flyer is the one that lets go. The catcher is the one that catches him. And I was reading about that, and they said that the relationship between the flyer and the catcher is very, very important. There has to be trust. But I didn't know this, but as the flyer arcs out into the air, his job is to remain as still as possible and to wait for the catcher to catch him. If the flyer tries to reach out and grab and catch him, it's going to be a disaster. He cannot reach out and try to grab. He has to just let go and wait patiently until the catcher catches him. And when I read it, I thought, whoa, that gave me a new perspective on what it means to let go and let God. We have to perfectly trust the Lord. We have to have that relationship of trust with the Lord where we're willing just to completely let go, to rest in the Lord. That's what it's saying. Rest in the Lord and wait patient. We just have to rest in Him. Some of us here are at a vulnerable moment right now, and you have to let go of what God has called you to let go of, but you can't feel God's hand yet. But I want to tell you, as you start to let go, please don't fret. Please don't flail around. Please don't be just wait patiently for God to catch you. Just wait patiently. Waiting requires patient trust. So while you're waiting, I want to ask you, do you have that kind of trust with God? Or you trust that God has good reasons for you waiting, even though you don't know what they are? Or you trust that God knows what he's doing? You know, we need to remember that God's perspective of everything is so different than our perspective. We're learning in Sunday school about perspective, how to have biblical perspective. But God's view is different than ours. In 2 Peter, for example, I'm not going to turn there, but 2 Peter 3, 8, verses 8 and 9, it talks about that a day with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord, and a day is 1,000 years. And it goes on to say that God is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we think Jesus hasn't come, so God, you've not kept your promise. But it says He's not slack. 1,000 years with God is like a day. It's only been 2 days since Jesus left. That's God's perspective. And that's because God, He's not bound by time. And so we need to understand that. And I was reading a story. There's an economist, and he read that passage. And so he was talking to the Lord, and he was amazed by this. He said, "Lord, is it true that 1,000 years for us is just like one day to you?" And he said, "Yes." So the economist said, "Well, $1,000,000 to us must be like a penny to you." And the Lord said, "Well, yes." Thomas said, "Well, Lord, will you give me one of those pennies?" And the Lord said, "All right, I will. Wait here a minute." You know, we often want God's resources, but we don't want His timing. We want the penny, we don't want the minute. We want His hand, but we don't want His calendar. We forget His work in us while we wait, which is just as important as what it is you're waiting for. Waiting means I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God that He knows what He's doing. At the very core of that waiting, it's about me becoming more and more like Jesus. So I want to just conclude with some response questions for you to think about. When God delays intervening in your life, how do you typically respond? I want you to think about that one. When God delays intervening in your life, how do you typically respond? And I realize I'm talking to Americans here. An instant gratification society where we are programmed to get things that are instant. We want it now, now, now. We can't wait. It was brought up in our prayer meeting that if we were to go to another country, we'd be shocked. Because we have all this prosperity, the American dream, we're trying to keep up with it. So we're hurry, 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 rush, 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 rush. We want everything now. You go to a foreign country where they don't have all this. It's simple living, trusting day by day just to get by. And when we went to Ghana, it was quite a shock culturally for us to go there and all of a sudden be immersed in a culture that was moving at a snail's pace. To go and try to get business done at the bank just to take money out of my account would require me at least 1 to 3 hours. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making that up. That is the honest truth. I dreaded that every month that I went to draw money out for the month. Just the wait. Going to try to get something done with the government office. You know, just the wait, the waiting process, the period of waiting, having the power go out. Our first term on the field, they were going through a drought in Ghana. And much of the electric that supplies the country came from they have a dam over at this large man-made lake in Ghana. And they had those rotors and stuff. And so that's how much of the power was generated. It was water generated. Well, because of the drought, they were having to limit power. And so we got there. Every other day it was off 12 hours. And it changed from, it was always 6 to 6. Like One day at 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., no power. The next time it went off at your area, it was 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. It rotated on the schedule. We did not have a generator. Now, you got to realize it's 90 plus degrees with 190 degrees humidity, if there is such a thing. And you're trying to sleep at night without a fan. It's almost impossible. But we had no other choice. I mean, you talk about a shock. We had to change. We had to change. We had to be transformed to where we could live there. We had to change our attitude towards all that. If the power goes out here in America for just 10 minutes, people are freaking out. Calling the electric company and say, get with it. Listen, we went 3 weeks without water. Running water to the... We learned just to wait, just to go with the process. And we learned a lot. But so it is in this life. We are in the waiting room of life, and we must learn to respond properly to God's delays. So how do you respond? How do you respond? Well, we looked at how we should respond. Let me ask you a second response question. How would understanding His purpose change your response? If you understood that God has a purpose in the waiting period, that He has a process that He has taken you through for your good, to change you, would it change how you respond to waiting? And the last response question is, how would your life change if each morning you ask God to specifically guide you into His plan for that day? How do you think that would change your life? If instead of getting up in the morning and running the rat race to get your bills paid, if you would just take time to be still, take time to rest in the Lord, take time to delight in Him, take time to talk to Him, take time to say, God, what do you want me to accomplish today? I'm telling you, it will change everything for you. You know what me and my wife had put on our plate over a month ago is it's a lot. And if I look at the long term, it's hard and overwhelming. So I have to get up every morning and say, okay, Lord, what do I need to accomplish today? I know in the back of my mind there's some things I need to do next week or down the road. But when I get up, I'll spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm burdened about this that's out in the future here. I'm burdened about this, and I'm waiting for you. I want you to help me with that. I want you to give me direction. But Lord, more importantly, what do you want me to accomplish today? I'm telling you, it has changed me. It has changed. It has given me a lot of peace and a lot of assurance, and just to focus on the moment, focus on the day, just enjoy the day, because after all, we may not have tomorrow. We may not have next week. So while you're in this process of waiting, spend time with Him. Wait on Him. Delight in Him. I want to close with this verse and we're going to pray. There's another psalm in Psalm 27. The last two verses of Psalm 27, I'm going to read these and we're going to pray. He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Dear Lord, we come to You today. We're so thankful for this wisdom song. that gives us wisdom in the waiting room of life. Lord, it's not easy for us to wait. Lord, we've been programmed not to wait. And Lord, maybe that's a good reason why we're in such a mess we're in. Because there's something that takes place in that process of waiting, of where You begin to do a work in our hearts and lives and changing us, making us more like Jesus, making us more lovable, more loving, more compassionate, more merciful, making us more patient, growing our character, giving us more hope, growing our faith, growing our relationship with You. It's amazing what takes place in that waiting process, and yet we want to miss it. We want to hurry to the end. We want the end result that we're praying and waiting for, and missing the purpose in the process of waiting. God, I thank You for these things that You've been teaching me. Things You've been changing me. Helping me to love You more. Help me to trust You more. To wait on You more. And Lord, as we think about it, our biggest desire as far as waiting goes is we're waiting for You to come back for us. We're waiting for that trumpet to sound. We're waiting to be called home. That's our heart's desire. But God, help us to realize that it may be sometime because You're still working on us. You're still changing us. And You want to do a work in us, as we learned recently, where we're Your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You want to be glorified on this earth. You want to be exalted. And the only way that happens is as we wait on You and You change us and mold us and make us. So Lord, I pray You'd change our perspective of what it means to wait on God. That we would wait on You trustingly, delightfully, expectantly, and patiently. Please, God, help us. And I pray, Lord, for those here today that do not know Christ, that do not have hope of eternal life, that's never been saved. One of the promises I know in Your Word that we don't have to wait for is whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You will answer instantly the moment a sinner turns from his wicked ways and comes to You in faith, believing Jesus died on the cross and rose again. At that very moment that they put their faith in Jesus and receive Him, they are saved. They don't have to wait a week, a month, a year. It is instantaneous. Lord, I'm so thankful that we don't have to wait for salvation. I'm thankful that that's something You will answer today. So if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray that they would not wait to call upon Your name. They would not wait to come to Jesus. Lord, we give You the glory today for all that You've done through Your Word and in our hearts today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You would stand together.